Hanukkah sunnah, happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
How are you, Jasmine?
Good, and you?
Baruch Hashem.
Hanukkah. How was your Hanukkah last night?
It was nice.
It was, yeah.
I assume yours was as well.
It was, yes. I have a question now. Maybe, is there going to be a Hanukkah class today?
Yes. You mean tonight? No.
Yeah. Okay, but yesterday, yeah, now we're going to have a Hanukkah class.
Correct. Okay. And we had one at 11 o'clock Eastern time also. It's the recording is on the webpage already.
The one from do you have last night?
Last night's is on the webpage, and the one from this morning is on the webpage.
The one for this morning? Aren't we having it now?
No. During Hanukkah, we have a class at 8 a.m. every day using West Coast time.
Oh, I didn't know that one.
Yeah, I've been announcing
I'm gonna
it.
Oh, I'm going
to
listen to it.
Baruch Hashem. But every morning at 8 a.m. West Coast time, we have a class with respect to Hanukkah.
Okay, great. When can I ask him about the question that I have?
Go ahead now, I guess, while we're waiting for others.
Well, my question is that you mentioned the prayers that we do for Hanukkah about work that we don't supposed to say. I guess it was Ner Shel.
You're not supposed to say the word. You're not supposed to say the word Shel when you light the Hanukkah candles. When you say the blessing to light Hanukkah candles.
I guess I did say it last night, and I had that doubt.
So.
Okay. That was my question. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you have the PDF where all the prayers are? Maybe the ones that you have doesn't have that shell, so I don't make a mistake again.
It's on the website. I don't remember. I think it's in the links under Hanukkah in the unique astrological events page, but I don't remember for sure.
I looked it up, Hanukkah blessings and different, but didn't show up. There are other meditation is what I found.
Well, I know it's there, so I know it's on the website, so. It'll keep, type in Hanukkah and look at all the pages. You'll see it somewhere in there. I did, Jasmine?
Yeah, I'm here.
I did want to mention one thing with regard to the spreadsheet you're developing for me?
Well, I've been a little busy, but I can do more today. I've been doing, I've finished.
What I'd like you to do is add another column where you say whether the source is the Hashem website or somewhere else and specify where else it is.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Hanukkah Sameach.
Oh, Annika Samayoc.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoff. Anna Bekoff. Gedula Shemincha. Da. Aleph et Gimel Yud Tav Tzadik. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sag Venu Taharein No Ra. Ufrei Shayans in Tet Nun. The letters of the month of Kislev, the Gimel that created the planet Tzedek, the planet Jupiter, planet of righteousness, and the Samech that created the constellation Keshet, the astrological sign of Sagittarius. Together, the Samech and the Gimel have a gematria of 63, which connects us to the Sephirah of Bina, the mother, the energy story. Na Gibor. Dor Sheyehudcha Kivava Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barchem Tacharem Rachame Sidkatcha Dami Gamrem Betet Resh Tzadi Tav Gimel Tassim Kadosh Biro Tufa Nae Adata Et Kufet Et Nunayan Yachid Gea Lamcha Pene Zofre Kidushata Yud Gimelamet Eizayan Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talupo Shin Kufav Tadiyuta. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We're now going to utilize the 13 attributes of mercy to separate between the right column and the left column energy of that creation. The positive and the negative. Adonai Yohe Wahe, Adonai Yohe Wahe, El Rachum Vechanun, Eres Apaim, Verav Chesed Ve'eme, Notze Chesed La'alafim, Notze Awon Vafesha, We're going to read the verses that we read daily to connect to the energy of the various years. We're going to start with the L'Shem Yehud, and the first verse we will connect to is for the year 5777, the year of the goat. It is Lamentations, Chapter 3, verse 52. Yechon Yehud Kudsa Belifu Ishkinte Bitfilu Urchimud Hilud Hilud Urchimud Leakta Lishem Yud He Vav He Vyechuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Adeinu Konanei Aleinu Maasei Adeinu Konanehu Tzod Sadumi Katzipor Oyevai Chinam. The first letter of these five words can be parsed into three Hebrew words. Tatz Ki Ach. And this translates as a pool like brothers. the final letters of these five words in the verse can be permutated into two Hebrew words, Dir Yam, and this is translated as a sea of tenants. These translations and these five newly created words all relate to the energy of the year of the goats. Another verse that relates to that energy is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8, where the name of the year is concealed, separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem Adivaku Tasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year 5776, the year of the pause between the chaos of 5775 and chaos of 5777. There are two verses in this year connecting to this year as well. There's 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka Kohanim Ha-yulimat v'lo yachlu lehashit et kol ha-olot v'yechaskum acheichem ha-levim ad kelot amlacha v'ad yitkadshu ha-kohanim ki ha-levim yishrei levav lehitkadesh Meha Kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to permutate it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe La La He Wa 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 Yo La Yo Wa La Me Hey, 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 Aka Arekacha. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Feed who ba Adonai Yohewahe Ade ad kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Sur Olamim. There are three verses that connect to the year 5775, the year that the energy is swallowing death forever. Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo yishem imeni lo tarpeni adili ruki. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru Udu Mikol Hamachavo Yiyam Asher Yitabe Sham Wishartem Eli El Nahom Wehalakti Item Wehayim Yeshno Varets Vihipasti Oto Bekol Alfe Yehuda. And the verse in Job, chapter 20, verse 7. Kekelo lanetzach yoved roav yomru vayo. There is one verse in the year 5774, the energy of which is peace in the Middle East. At 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom leami li Israel untati vishatan tachta velo yirgaz od velo yosifu bnei avla la'anoto kasher barishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar that connects to the energy of certainty. The verse is from Parashah Yitro. It's Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Beka Amatar Anenan Dekucha Perichu Koma Diaved Veila Witata Kolaihu Kishot Biovada Dikshot Vilelach Mila Bialma Ivae Barnash Vedahya Leia Mineya Ulan Haga Beya Kilana Dehakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikola Itzterich. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. For Tzaddikim who left today, the 25th day of Kislev, Rabbi Avraham Mordechai Nissim Harari Rafu, Rabbi Chaim Heskiyahu ben Rabbi Raphael Eliyahu Medini, Rabbi Yaakov Ettinger, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, Rabbi Yochanan Twersky, Rabbi Raphael Avraham Sharabi, and Rabbi Chaim of Atinea. And the eighth verse of the Anna Bekorach we say in a whisper. Today's class can be found on the Yashem website. Under the two pictures that are on the right of every Yashem webpage, there's a link, Unique Astrological Events. When you click on that link and the page opens up, you can scroll down to the section on Hanukkah. And it's the third link under that section, connecting to the Ner Yehudim, the unity of the candles. And the page opens up. We probably will not finish this today, but we'll have to wait and see. And if we need to complete it, it will be done tomorrow night's class, the 7 o'clock class. The Ner Yehudim and the deeper kavanot for the Hanukkah blessings. What so often turns people off from Torah is not seeing how the lessons of age-old religion have any value and relevance to modern-day life. This turnoff is most applicable and true when it comes to the study of Kabbalah. Today, Kabbalah is being taught to the masses by teachers that have not experienced the depth and power that the Kabbalah holds for people. If the teacher has not experienced it, the student will not experience it. And this is especially true with respect to this particular teaching of the Ner Yehudim. Weak-minded, lazy, and other narcissistic types are the only ones attracted to this type of hype. Adding to the already existing problem, sincere, hardworking Torah faithful individuals fail to see the relevance in authentic Kabbalah's multiple layers of concealing metaphors. Most are also somewhat frightened away by the terrible name now attached to the Kabbalah, God forbid. This is due to the infiltration of the positive system by the Satan and his minions. This leaves the authentic and authoritative Kabbalah in a pretty sad and bad place. Perverted and abused, misunderstood, and rejected and abandoned by those in the Torah community who should indeed embrace it. My commentary. Not only does it need to be embraced, it is the only method available to avoid the Armageddon War. Please learn this Yehudim and others and use them often. We cannot address all issues within the short form of this essay. However, there is one thing we can do. We can look at one simple, in-depth Kabbalistic metaphor. A Yehud meditation performed during prayer, especially during Hanukkah, and its nightly and daily prayers that most people do not understand today, even in the Orthodox minions. We can see in Hanukkah ads, we will see how this profound metaphor, when analyzed correctly, can be shown to relate to us in a very relevant and profound lesson of psychology. Indeed, this is exactly what Kabbalah was always meant to be, the psychology of Torah and the psychology of the Jewish people. My common goal. The Hasidic movement, is, as taught by the Baal Shem Tov, has been teaching this idea that Kabbalah and psychology are very much unified. Actually, in my opinion, this is not fully correct. There is a deeper level than the psychology aspect. When the world is ready, this will be taught publicly, while now it is being taught to individuals. The following essay on the Yehud Ner, the unification of light, I pray will show us just how psychological Kabbalah is supposed to be, how so much unlike, and I am adding the intellectual and the cult forms it really is, and how valuable it is to kosher and sincere Torah faithful individuals and worthy of our rescuing it from the hands of its abusers. To begin with, the Arizal coined a meditative term called a Yehud, a unification. This is a type of visual contemplative meditation when one visualizes in one's mind certain holy names of God and merges them together, usually by intertwining the letters of their spelling to create new names that incorporate the letters and thus the meanings or metaphors of both names that are being combined. My commentary. This intertwining of the letters of two or more words allows the spiritual connection of opposites, since it occurs in the physical world in a physical mind. There is more to this discussion. Know that this mechanism was taught as early as Abraham the Patriarch in the Sefer Yetzirah, although it is not usually taught today. A simpler, more natural way. As we perform this contemplative task within the confines of our human minds, we are taught that our thoughts reverberate through different dimensions and worlds and actually cause the supernal spiritual integration and unification of the realities represented by these names above. Thus, our minds create the spiritual unification of opposites, or draw near that which is spiritually far apart, and thus the term Yehud, the unification meditations. Please hold on 1 second. Continuing, my class, the next is my commentary on what I've just read. Understand this well. It is a very useful tool. It applies the names of God and unifying your soul with Hashem as well, even if you have not yet achieved the level of a tzaddik. It will only work if you are sufficiently cleansed. In earlier generations, this technique would cause a great amount of chaos. Today, due to the fall of our spiritual level, the technique just does not work rather than create chaos. This is part of the reason that the commentary by Rabbi Bar Sadok that we're reading is written in such an accusing manner. Continuing. One of the most important Yehudim performed daily during the conclusion of the Amidah prayer, when we recite the words, "Blessed are you, Hashem, who blesses your people Israel with peace, Shalom," is called the Yehud Ner. This Yehud is performed when we recite the word Shalom at the end of this bracha. The reason why this Yehud is called Ner, light, is twofold. First, the numerical value of the six holy names involved with this contemplative meditation adds up to 250, which is the normal gematria value of the word Ner. Second, the concept of integration, represented by the merging of these holy names, defines what for authentic Kabbalah is spiritual light. Thus, this Yehud Ner is performed for the sake of shining the light of the divine into the consciousness of man. This is, after all, the true meaning of peace, and thus defines why this Yehud is performed when we recite the word Shalom in the Amidah. My commentary. The Hebrew word ner has many meanings. One is spiritual light, as described above. Another is the English word candle, which relates to light on a physical level. Also, the two acronyms come from ner, nefesh and ruach, and also neshama and ruach. It can also be the root of the word boy or youth. In reverse order, the letters spell the word ran, which is translated as one of the many forms of song. The procedure of the Yehud is as follows. First, one should visualize and contemplate the holy name, Havaya. The sacred name of names represents Hashem's essence of manifest power that enables life and our universe to exist. The name implies pure being, above and beyond the ability of contemplation. nevertheless still active and purposeful in guiding every detail in creation. The number value of this name, Avaya, is 26, which is tonight's meditation when you light the candles. We begin by merging the letters Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei with the letters of another sacred name, Ehyeh, Aleph-Kei-Yud-Kei. This holy name represents that aspect of Hashem which is concealed and yet acts as the primary mover of things, whereas Havaya is the manifest power of Hashem. Ehyeh is the concealed source of that power. The two intertwine with one another in a body and soul relationship. Indeed, that is what this Yehud comes to accomplish, a bonding of the concealed and revealed aspects within Hashem himself. In essence, our contemplation is to imbue the holy name Havaya with the power to act. And all things receive their power from their source above. Ehyeh is said to be the name which is the source of the power within the name Havaya. Thus, by uniting the two, we create the manifestation of divine energy, which previously was concealed and non-active. The name Ehyeh is said to correlate to the Sephirah of Keter, which is the spark, the seed, and source of all things to come. Keter is the ultimate unmanifest potential within Hashem. When uniting this name of Ehyeh, come in. Thank you. The name Ehyeh is said to correlate. When uniting the name of Ehyeh with Havaya, we are imbuing the Keter with the power to pass on its potential into the realm of action. The numerical value of the holy name Ehyeh is 21. A simpler, more natural way. Once we contemplate upon arousing Hashem's concealed potential to activate it into manifest power, we must first balance the polarities of the right and left sephirotic columns. As we know, Hashem is the author of all things, both good and evil, blessing and curse, light and darkness, mercy and severity. A mere generic arousal to manifest Hashem's divine hand, which is energy in action, might produce a manifestation of judgment, severity, curse, God forbid, and punishment, God forbid. We are not all worthy by definition to simply receive divine blessing without merit. Calling upon Hashem to manifest himself, therefore, might be a dangerous thing. If we do not specify through our meditative contemplative process what exactly it is we are trying to accomplish, in order to alleviate the manifestation of divine judgment and to arouse the manifestation of divine justice and even possibly mercy, we do the following. We again visualize the holy name Havaya, and this time merge it with the letters of the holy name Elohim. This is the name which metaphorically signifies Hashem's power of judgment. This is the name used in the creation story and signifies the power of limitation and form, and thus law, justice, severity, and harshness. These forces are summed up by the Hebrew word din, judgment, and most adequately describes what the name Elohim represents. In order to mitigate divine judgment, it must be sweetened. The process of this sweetening is as described above. We visualize the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, Havaya, and merge it with the letters of Elohim. Havaya, which is Hashem's pure being, essentially manifests Hashem's force of mercy in the universe. Therefore, by joining the letters of the name Havaya to the letters of the name Elohim, we are in essence neutralizing the forces of severity inherent in the name Elohim and eliminating the potential of their manifestation upon our heads. Again, as we perform this in our minds, a collaborative manifestation is made above in the supernal spiritual planes. The name Elohim in this meditation also corresponds to the aspects of the mind, especially the Sephirah, Chachma, Bina, and the semi-Sephirah of Daat. The mind is the human faculty that defines, distinguishes, differentiates, and separates one aspect of human reality from another. Therefore, in this Yehud Ner, the mind is associated with the name corresponding to judgment. Judgment itself is the archetypical act of separation of man from man and man from God. The numerical value of the holy name Elohim is 86. Once we have called into manifestation Hashem's concealed potential by meditatively visualizing the unity of the two names, Havaya, Echieh, and once we have balanced this manifestation, that it reveals Hashem's mercy and justice and not his severity. By the Yehud of the two names, Havaya and Elohim, we are now ready to bring this meditative visualization exercise to its conclusion. My commentary. This is a very important spiritual lesson. Many times in the Tanakh, the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is followed by a second name of Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. The reader is told to pronounce the first as Adonai, which is the usual manner to pronounce it. Whenever we see it in the Torah or the Tanakh scrolls, the second Havaya is pronounced Elohim by the reader. Why is this the tradition? It is the mystical relationships of Sephirot and the discussions of light and vessel. If one of these Hashem is the light and one is the vessel, then we are manifesting light in the vessel of severe judgment. When we manifest the light in the vessel of Elohim, we connect to sweetened judgment or justice, as discussed above. Remember, every word in the Torah is relating to a Sephirah, to a light and vessel relationship. This also applies to our own words, even in common everyday conversation. We do not realize this, but it is truly part of the illusion. Look for how this applies in your everyday life and learn to be aware of the reality and not the illusion. Doing the Ner Yehud assists you in achieving this. Returning to the essay. Excuse me. This, of course, is its manifestation into our physical world of space-time. In order to accomplish this, we must now introduce the final holy name of the sixth of this Yehud. His holy name is Adonai, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. The name of God we recite during prayer. The name Adonai represents the manifestation of Hashem here in our universe. This name of Hashem signifies Hashem's rule over the heavens and the earth, and the subtle manifestation of divine light through the various forms of the laws and acts of nature. This name of Hashem is how we refer to him here in our present state of physical being and spiritual exile. As we know, the name of Hashem throughout the Torah is Havaya, yet we today always refer to him as Adonai. These two names have a very important relationship. It is through the name Adonai that Hashem reveals himself in our world today. The name Havaya is concealed within Adonai. The two names form a body-soul relationship. My commentary. The connecting term body-soul is a Kabbalistic vocabulary that is easily misunderstood. Here are a few terms to help you start to internalize its full understanding. Body is external, soul is internal. Mind and heart, which is internal and which external for you. Clothing and body. Heaven and earth. Me and you, which is internal. Ish and Isha, in Hebrew, is man and woman. And how does this relate to husband and wife, or wives? Where is the justice in multiple wives, but not multiple husbands? House and home. Form and substance, or essence. Upper worlds, lower worlds. Crown and stem of the male sex organ. Hashem acts in his power, Havaya. Yet in our present human state, excuse me, the full manifestation of Havaya would be too intense of a spiritual revelation for us. When the name Havaya is revealed unsheathed by Adonai, we have events of the likes of biblical miracles, such as the 10 plagues, the parting of the sea, and other overwhelming changes in the forces of nature. However, if these miraculous interventions are undeserved, then rather than manifest acts of miraculous divine mercy, the name Havaya can be in turn manifest divine wrath. Even though it itself is essentially a name signifying mercy. If and when mankind is worthy, then Hashem manifests its essential attribute of mercy as intended. If not, then the name can become a very powerful tool of divine wrath. This was experienced when the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem and the Jewish people were exiled to Babylon. My commentary. Remember, there are no terms such as mercy and wrath on the divine level. There is just a vessel, too weak or too small, to handle the revelation of the energy of Hashem unclothed by the Adonai. Learn this lesson well so that you never get trapped into the religious worldview of a wrathful, angry God. This is one of Satan's most powerful tools. It is easy to overcome when you realize that there is no morality in the Tanakh. Even when words of morality are used, like Tov and Ra, good and evil. Continuing with the essay. In order to avoid this expression of divine wrath through the passage of what should be divine mercy, the name Adonai comes along and acts as a sheath to filter and lessen the light of Hashem, and to make it palatable for us here in our physical space-time dimension. This lessening of reception of divine light due to our sins is the definition of spiritual exile. And I am adding, it is also the definition of physical exile. Our purpose in uniting the two names, Havaya and Adonai, is to slowly but surely restore the level of divine mercy through the appropriate channels. Therefore, we intertwine the letters of Havaya and Adonai, signifying the union of divine mercy and our dimension of space-time. And I am adding that this can be and is beneficial to do every time we see the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and say the name Adonai, whether in prayer or in conversation. This is the third and final step of the Yichud Ner. Within this visualization, we contemplate the manifestation of Hashem's invisible essence, now revealed Echye and balanced Elohim in our realm Adonai. This is the true definition of divine light, thus the Ner, and I am asked, adding, Ner is spelled Nun Resh. Being that the union of Havaya and Adonai unify the heavens and the earth, they correspond to the seven lower Sephirot, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, and Malchut. The numerical value of the name Adonai is 65. Now let us add up these numbers, and I'm adding, use gematria in an appropriate way. The numerical value of the intertwined name Echye and Hashem together equal 47. The numerical value of the intertwined name Hashem Elohim together equal 112. The numerical value of the intertwined name Hashem Adonai equals 91. 47 plus 112 plus 91 is equal to 250, the numerical value of Ner, and thus the name of this Yehud meditation. My commentary. Here is an additional kernel of gematria information. Every man has 248 parts of his body and 365 sinews in his body. Together they make up the 613 parts of the body and soul. This is not true for women. A woman has 252 parts of her body. When a man and a woman are in unity, there are 500 parts of the unified whole, representing the two lights of male and female. My teachers have all said they have never read the names of these additional parts. As a man who is between marriages, I contemplated the names of these parts, since it is inappropriate for me to visualize these parts according to the halakha. In my opinion, the names of the four parts are the birth canal, the womb, and the left and right fallopian tubes. Now that we have described this meditation in practice, let me explain it psychologically and show how this Yehud is actually a mental exercise for mental spiritual development, as well as a prayer of the heart to reach out to bond with Hashem. we must know and understand that what we call psychological development and spiritual development are essentially one and the same. The meaning of tikkun, rectification, is usually the correction of the human character traits and its alignment with the supernal divine in whose image we were created. In other words, spiritual growth by definition means character development. Spiritual growth by definition means character development and refinement of character traits. For one to be the absolute best human being and individual that one can be, this is the whole purpose of Torah, the whole purpose of mitzvot, of the teachings of Kabbalah, and the purpose and use of the tool meditation. Anyone teaching otherwise simply has not grasped the essence of the Torah. A commentary. Obviously, according to Rabbi Barskadak, I have not grasped the essence of Torah, since I agree that personality and character development is the purpose of psychological development and mental development of a human being. I do not agree that this process increases the desire, which is the consciousness of a human being. This is the higher level that I have referred to earlier. Ultimately, a human being will grow his or her unified desire to be capable of revealing all of the attributes of the Creator, which is the true essence of being closer to the Creator. We are going to stop the class here. We will finish it tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Keep in mind our classes for this coming week. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the mini Zohar class is at 4:30, and we are in the process and right in the middle of a particular section in the Parasha Bereshit that discusses what can be learned from the light of a candle. I think it's very appropriate to delve into this discussion during Hanukkah. Monday, we will continue our teachings of the Ner Yehudim. That will be at 7 o'clock. Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we will have a Tikkuni Zohar class. Wednesday at 7 o'clock, we will have our questions and answers period. Thursday at 7 o'clock, we normally have a Zohar class, but this particular Thursday in the evening is Rosh Chodesh Tevet, the sixth night of Hanukkah. And so we will have our Rosh Chodesh connection Thursday at 7 p.m. Please make a note of it. The 4:30 class on Thursday will be our advanced reincarnation class. Next Saturday evening at 6 o'clock will be a study regarding Zot Hanukkah, and at 7 o'clock will be a Zohar class connecting us to Zot Hanukkah, as well as Parasha of Vayechi. Excuse me, the Parasha will be Vayigash. Next Sunday morning at 10:30, we will start preparing for the period in the calendar known as Shavuot. Remember, every morning this week at 8 a.m. West Coast time will be a preparation for the candle lighting that evening. I hope you'll join us. And if not, you will find the recording on the webpage. Does anybody have any questions? I wish everyone shalom, a happy Hanukkah, a special and unique week where you connect to the Or Ganuz, the hidden light that is now revealed, and the method of connection is to light a candle, utilizing this meditation of these six names. And where, if you'd like to know what those six names are, one is Havaya, one is Adonai, one is Eshiyeh, and the three unifications, the three combinations, are the additional three. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom.